Hi, you're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Church. For more information, head to our website, www.lmc.org.au.
It is a great honour to be asked to speak here, and it's incredible that every time we come back on leave, Graham does give the opportunity for me to speak, and I really appreciate that. And, you know, in June, I knew what I had to speak about. God has been talking to me all this year about His Word, how seriously He takes His Word, and how He wants us to really think about His Word and to follow it. Now, we're going to look at quite a number of scriptures in this sense, so let's just start by having a look at what God says about His Word. He Himself says this, and I think that too often we don't take seriously a lot of what is written for us. So let's start here in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. And God makes it very clear here. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Not just some of it, all of it. Now, we start off by, that is my premise, that every word in here is inspired by God, is spoken by God, not just some of it. Because if some of it is not quite His word, well then, how do we discern what is and what is not? It's either His word or it's not. And so often we get bombarded, you know, the greatest bombardment against the word of God is evolution. Because I'm one of these nuts who really believes that God made the world in 6 days. Why? Because the word tells me. Oh, but scientists have proved that that's incorrect. No, it's not. They haven't proved a thing. They believe that it took millions of years, but I believe that God's word is a bit more powerful than what a few scientists believe. You see, scientists used to believe that UV rays were good for us. And I got an advertisement once. Mike, my son, was doing a renovation. You know how they used to put newspapers under lino? And he found this newspaper which was advertising sunscreen which attracted the UV rays to do you good. Well, so much for what scientists know and what they believe. there's a lot like that. I firmly believe all Scripture comes from God. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21. For prophecy, now the word prophecy here means the whole Word of God. For prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. So here's God speaking to you and I, His people, and saying, this is my word to you. So please don't ever say, I don't hear from God. Well, if you read this, you do. You don't have to have bells and whistles and tingling all down your spine to hear from God. All you've got to do is read the word. You'll hear from Him. He'll tell you if you're serious about that. So God Himself says, this is my word. I've inspired it. I've given it to you. And He gives it to us for a purpose. See, I often use the example of if we go and buy a car. Now, what nut would buy a car and say, man, this petrol, it's so expensive. I think I'll put water in. Huh?
Yeah, it just doesn't make sense, does it? The people who made the car, they tell you what to put in it. If it's for petrol, you'll put petrol in. If it's for diesel, you'll put diesel in. You won't even question. The people who made it know how it works. They know what works for it, and they tell you how to look after it. Well, my Bible tells me that God made me. And he tells me what works and what will be good to look after it. And so I think it's a good idea to take a little more seriously than we often do the Word of God. And that's what I said, that's what he's been telling me all this year. And I knew that he was saying, now, this is a word I want you to bring. Okay. Now, so God inspired his word, but have a look at what he says about it. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 18. For assuredly, I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, not one jot or one tittle will by no means pass from the law until it is fulfilled. Not one piece of this. You see, I use the example of evolution. They say, oh, no, no. People didn't understand what they were writing about. Well, excuse me, the bloke who made it told them what to write, and they wrote it. Not one jot, one tittle will pass away. It's all there and it's all relevant. There's nothing there that is not relevant, and it grieves me. And I know it grieves the Holy Spirit to see the great push for same-sex marriage. Great push for that. Not one jot, one tittle will pass away. And my Bible tells me that marriage is for a man and a woman. See, we start thinking that, oh, no, no, public opinion is there and it's so strong. Yeah. We're in a minority here. Perhaps we're wrong. Well, perhaps we're not. Perhaps there's a reason why people are questioning this word. Nothing in this word will change. And God has given it to us to make sure that we are guided by the word. And then Jesus himself. I've got to get this right. In John's Gospel, Jesus, he showed how important the Word of God is. Sorry, what's happened? Oh, yes, sorry, I skipped Matthew. 24:35. That's the one we've just done, isn't it? See, I told you these things. Yeah, I sometimes have. I teach in the Bible and I write on the board, and sometimes the stupid chalk gets it wrong. Can't spell, so I chuck that away and I get another piece of chalk. So perhaps I'll be careful. I might throw this thing away. Where are we now? Have we got John? Good. We got John now. John 5 and verse 19. Jesus is speaking and he says, most assuredly I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he sees the Father do. For whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner. See, Jesus would not do a thing until he heard from his Father. He wouldn't minister. You remember the story of Lazarus? Lazarus died. Everybody said, come on. Well, he was sick. Come on, hurry up. Come and see Lazarus. No. I thought you liked him. Yep, he's my brother. I like Lazarus. Well, come and minister to him. He's sick. He might die. Yep. 4 days. Lazarus did die. But then Jesus went and raised him from the dead because he heard from his Father that it would be more glory to his Father to raise from the dead than to heal, because he'd done plenty of healing. Jesus says this, and I wonder if you and I
can start to think in these terms. Because that's how seriously God takes his word. I wrote it. Nothing's going to change. And my son won't do anything until he hears from me. You and I? Okay. Now, I want to just change tack a little, but it's on the same line. I want us to consider Moses. Now, Moses, this great man of God, hears from God, go and see Pharaoh, I want my people out of there, works all the miracles, fantastic miracles. There they go, so they eventually come out of Egypt. And then Moses is called up onto the mountain, receives the law, gets all of that, and then he's told, okay, now you're going to get there's a land I'm going to give you. Promised land, beautiful land. I've brought you out of Egypt. You're going to get this lovely, lovely land. So Moses leads the people along. They come to the land. God says, go on, go and take it. They send in 12 spies. 10 spies come back and say, can't do it. 2 say, yes, you can. See, 10 didn't believe the word of God. So what was the result? 40 years wandering around in the wilderness. Every one of you lot who did not believe my word will die in the wilderness, and the 2 who did believe my word, they will be able to go in. So here's Moses leading this rabble, as it were. They were a rebellious lot, man. You don't lead people like that, do you? Great. That's great. I'm glad to hear it. So Moses has shown the tabernacle where they were to worship. And God says to him, do everything according to what I show you. Now let me just give you one example here. Ah, it worked. Yeah, part of making a tabernacle, make this lampstand, is to go into the holy place. There are no windows in the holy place. The only light in there is the lampstand. And God gives him the pattern. He gave him the pattern for every piece of furniture in the tabernacle. And you know, 17 times it says Moses did exactly as God had told him. Now, if you have a look at that lampstand, if you have a look at each knob, there is some decoration. And each of those decorations consists of 3 things. So if you add them all up, each arm has 9 decorations on it. The centrepiece has 12 decorations on it. So on one side, you've got 3 arms with 9 decorations. That's 27. Okay, I gave you time to digest that. The centrepiece, it has 12 decorations. The other side has 3 arms, 9 decorations on each side. 27 on one side, 12 on the middle. 27 and 12 is 39. Do you know how many books there are in the Old Testament? 39. The other side has 27 decorations. Do you know how many books there are in the New Testament? 27. 66 books altogether. Why do you think God's saying, do it exactly as I tell you? Because the lamp represents the illumination of the Holy Spirit. It represents him teaching us the word of God. And even then, at that time when the Bible wasn't even written, God's telling Moses, make this stand exactly as I tell you. 66 decorations. 66 wonderful books, all woven into one piece, illuminated and made alive. by the Holy Spirit. Do exactly as I say. If Moses had not done exactly as he said, that pattern would have been broken and we wouldn't have got that beautiful type, that beautiful picture. And you can go through each part of the furniture of the tabernacle and you can see the pattern illuminating the Lord Jesus Christ, illuminating what we should know about coming into a place of worship. So here's Moses. He does exactly, as I said, 17 times. The Bible says that Moses did exactly as I say. Now, so they wandered around for a while, and they go all right, and they start moaning, they go all right, they start moaning. Let's just have a look at one of these. Exodus chapter 17. We got it? Yes. Now, all the congregation of the children of Israel set out on their journey from the wilderness of Sin, according to the commandment of the Lord, and camped at Rephidim. There was no water for the people to drink. Therefore, the people contended with Moses and said, "Give us water that we may drink." So Moses said to them, "Why do you contend with me?" Tell me when to click, will you? Because I'm not looking at it. Thank you. Right, click. Therefore, the people contended with Moses and said, "Give us water that we may drink." So Moses said to them, "Why do you contend with me? Why do you tempt the Lord?" Huh? You see, they're talking. You're not talking about Graham or the elders. Contending with the Lord. Because the Lord is the one leading. The Lord said, "Go on, you go, you start walking around here." And they did, they walked. But then they're not happy with the conditions that they find. Not contending with Moses, they're contending with the Lord. And the people thirsted there for water. And the people complained against Moses and said, "Why is it you've brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our livestock with thirst?" Have they forgotten the miracles that brought them out of Egypt in the first place? Huh? Here they go. Am I clicking? So Moses cried out to the Lord, saying, "What shall I do with this people? They're almost ready to stone me." It's not in my Bible. Click. Oh, I see. All right. "And the Lord said to Moses, 'Go on before the people and take with you some of the elders of Israel. Also, take in your hand your rod with which you struck the river and go. Behold, I will stand before you there on the rock in Horeb, and you shall strike the rock, and water will come out of it, and the people may drink.' And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel." So he called the name of the place Massah and Meribah, because of the contention of the children of Israel, because they tempted the Lord, saying, "Is the Lord among us or not?" Moses heard. Now, what a strange thing to do. To get a piece of stick, go and strike a rock, and out of it comes water. Well, that's good, because it did. And, you know, First Corinthians 10:4 tells us about that rock. They all drank the same spiritual drink. They drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. You see, you can be in a dry place. You can think nothing's happening in God, but it is. He's there. You just have to find it. Moses obeyed the word and found it. Okay, all that's good. Now I want to bring you to a portion of scripture that makes me cry every time I read it. and makes me very much afraid. I would hope it might do the same with you. We're still with Moses. And then we go to the book of Numbers. So they've had the miracle of getting water out of a rock. Some reason that finished and they come to a dry place again. And they start complaining again. Well, you put us here, no water, you know, what are we going to do, die? Better we go back to Egypt? And, righto. So Moses does the same thing, goes to God. What is it going to do with this mob? So God says to him in this Numbers chapter 20, verse 8, take the rod, you and your brother Aaron, gather the congregation together, speak to the rock before their eyes, and it will yield its water. Thus you shall bring water for them out of the rock and give drink to the congregation and their animals. I hope you're reading this carefully because it's so important. Then we go on to verse 10. Moses and Aaron gathered the assembly together before the rock, and he said to them, hear now, you rebels. Must we bring water for you out of this rock? Then Moses lifted his hand and struck the rock twice with his rod, and water came out abundantly, and the congregation and their animals drank. Then the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, because you did not believe me to hallow me in the eyes of the children of Israel. Told you it makes me sad every time I read this. Therefore, you shall not bring the assembly into the land which I have given them. What? Moses? Miracles, put up with them for 40 years, brought water out of a rock. The first time God said, strike the rock, and he did. The second time God said, speak to the rock. And Moses struck it. And God said, you didn't believe my word, so you're not going into that land of that I've promised you. For 40 years he'd been longing. I've told you God takes his word seriously. And this story, as I said, that just, man, it blows me away. See, we think, God, how unfair is that? Well, that's the way we think. But if we understand how seriously God takes his word, we will understand that if he says something, we'd better do it. And here's poor old Moses. And all he's allowed to do is look at the land, which his heart was yearning for. And he dies before he goes in. Do you get the idea that God is serious about his word? Do you get the idea that it'd be a good idea if we perhaps took it a little more seriously than we often do? Now, you see, there's another example in Scripture. Yes, we'll have a look at that. King Saul. And he was given instructions, go and fight the Amalekites. Kill everyone, kill all the animals. We don't want anything to them. They're so involved in idol worship, get rid of them all. Saul did half of what God instructed him to do. He won the fight, but he took captive the king and he took quite a number of livestock. And here's an anointed king, and this is what God says to him through the prophet, Samuel. 1 Samuel 15. Has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. How many witches are there in this room today? Rebellion against the word of God is as the sin of witchcraft. It's time we started getting a bit afraid, I think. It's time we were a bit more serious about what God is saying in his word. And he goes on, stubbornness is as the iniquity and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he also has rejected you from being king. We are kings and priests. The Bible tells us that. I don't want God to reject me. I don't want God to say, oh, no, no, I told you to do that and you went and did something else. You see, you might look at me and think, yeah, an old geezer, it's about time you packed it in and sat down for a while. But God clearly spoke to Beryl myself and said, no, go back to New Guinea. I want another Bible college up there. Where would we be if we hadn't obeyed that? What would happen? I know that I would not be as fulfilled. I know I wouldn't be very happy. I look around and I just count my blessings. How blessed it is to see somebody who is without any hope at all in this life. And then they hear the word of God, their life is changed, and they become a useful citizen on this planet. How good is that? But it takes obedience to the word. God spoke, and praise God, Beryl's with me. We go and we minister and we are blessed. Blessed? Yeah, I haven't got much money. Haven't got a U Butte car. What does that matter? I've got a car that gets me from A to B. I've got enough money to feed my face. And the rags I've got on, not too bad. The word of God is to be obeyed. Now, there are two things. Now, how do you get rid of that off the screen? Just blank it up for me, would you please? All right. And then I'll go on again in a minute. Thank you. See, we've got to know the word of God first. You can't obey something if you haven't heard it, if you don't know it. We've got to know the word of God. And the second is to obey it. One thing to know, the second thing is to obey. And God is pretty strong on this too. So let's have a look at some scripture here. In John chapter 15, verse 23. Sorry, what have I got up there? I haven't got anything. John chapter 14 and verse 23. Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. Sorry, I better get myself organised here. Verse 15 to start with. If you love me, keep my commandments. Now, there wouldn't be too many people in this room who say they don't love Jesus. Well, we've got to show it. And how do we show it? Well, here's one way. We keep his commandments. We know his commandments first, and then we keep them. And just to emphasise it, it's repeated in verse 23. If anyone loves me, he will keep my word. My Father will love him. We will come to him and make our home with him. Feeling a long way from God, feeling he doesn't talk to you, feeling that there's a bit dry here, let me say, a good antidote. Just examine. Am I obeying God, or am I doing something which he's asked me to do and I'm not doing it? See, so often he asks us to do stuff which is just way out. You can't do it in your own strength, in your own knowledge, in your own abilities. You can't do it. But if God says, do it, well, then he knows that he's going to provide. See, Moses, when he was called, he started objecting. No, I can't do that. I can't speak. I'm not good at this. I'm not good at that. No, Moses, go and do it. He went and did it, and it happened. God does that with us. He doesn't want us just comfortable, going along, this and that. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying everybody pack up bags and go and be missionaries somewhere. No. But hear God. What's he telling you or asking you to do? Might be just a simple thing, like speaking to your neighbours. Oh, but if I do that, they may never speak to me. We don't speak to them anyway, so go and do it. We make excuses. But we need to get here the word which says, my heart just yearns for people to be saved. I don't want anybody to be lost. I don't want this world to go down the tubes. That's God and his word. And each one of us has a part to play in that. And we need to hear, we need to be just ready. Ready to obey. So I believe it comes down to this. How well do you and I know this word? If you don't know it, you can't obey it. And a question, I won't ask you to put your hands up, but how many have read this book from the start to finish? I see one hand, but that's thank you. But you see, we've got to do that. We've got to do that. I can remember would have been about 10 years ago, Graham, you challenged us. And you said, come on, I want you reading the Bible through in a year. And if you do that, you'll get a prize. Still got the prize, Graham. Thank you. what was it? No, I'm forgetful. No, it was a book, a devotional book, My Utmost for His whatever. See, again, I feel so privileged that when I first became a Christian, God challenged me about his word. And when I first became a Christian, he said, read the Bible. And every year since, I have read the Bible through at least once. So now getting on for about 36 years as a Christian, I've read that book at least 36 times, but sometimes I get so hungry I do more. And that's just reading. Study also comes into it. What a blessing. What a privilege to have this word, to have the great God guiding your life and my life. What a fantastic thing
For him to say, that's not right. It might look okay, but that's not the way to go. Get on the path here. You know, we are so... Sorry, but we are so thick. We really are thick sometimes. We're putting water in the petrol tank because we're not taking seriously enough what this word is saying. I just want to encourage you. Get into the word. Forget about your texting and your Facebook and your iPads and whatever. Add up. How much time do you spend each day doing that? And how much time do you spend each day in this? It's a joke. We get worried about Muslims, we get worried about Jehovah's Witnesses, about Mormons. They put us to shame. They know their scripture, they read their scripture. Unfortunately, it's guiding them down the wrong path, but boy, they're fair dinkum about it. Us, so often, we're not. How do we take the word of God? How do we know the word of God? How should we dress? How should we relate to other people? How should we conduct our lives? It's all there, and it's wonderful. Give it a try if you haven't done that. This is one which we could do well to obey. Matthew 5. You've heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbour and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. And pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. How do we go with that? How do we go with praying for our government? How do we go with forgiveness? We have so much direction from Scripture, and it is just as we do it. Now let's just finish with some good advice, and this again from the Word of God. I've got four scriptures I want to look at here. Deuteronomy chapter 6. See, I got one of these old-fashioned things that you turn the pages and you don't press buttons on. And I love it. I can write on this one. I can underline. I can do lots of things with it. Deuteronomy 6. The Lord commanded us to observe all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good always, that he might preserve us alive as it is this day. Observe, obey, for our good, that God might preserve us. You might think some of the preservation juices are not working that well, but they're there. They do. They do help us. Psalms chapter 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. In his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. We want to prosper, don't we?
We want our lives to be fruitful. We don't want to waste our time just doing stuff which doesn't have a lot of effect. Yeah? That's what we want. Well, the way to do it, meditate on the law day and night. And now Joshua, the guy who took over from Moses, and he was one of the two spies who went in and said, no, we can take this land. We can do it. So he and Caleb were permitted to go in. Everybody else died. I've shown you how Moses was not permitted to go into the promised land. But Joshua, and just as he starts his leadership, God gives him this advice. Again, we would do well to heed it. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. That's a lovely promise. Wonderful promise. But we have to meet the conditions. Conditions are meditate on the word of God and obey the word of God. Now, we don't exclude everything else. We read other stuff. We do that. But do we give enough time to this? And then the very last book of the Bible also has a nice promise. Revelations 22, verse 14. Blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city. I want to do that. I'm certain that we all do. And what's the condition of that? Blessed are those who do his commandments. I would like to ask the worship team to come up again, please. We're going to take communion together. And in taking communion together, we are observing what the Bible tells us to do. We are taking part. We are being obedient. And man, when Alan Meyer spoke just before Christmas, he encouraged us. He said, don't take these things for granted that we do time and again. Let it be fresh. Now, I want to sing that song, please. About the last one. Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound. Could we have that up, please? While the elements are being distributed, I want you to receive these elements and I want you to look at these words that we're singing. You can start whenever you're able. Because they speak to us, or they should speak to us, about what we're doing. We're not just going through a ceremony that we do every week. We're obeying what God has told us to do, to remember him, to think of the good things that he's done in our life, to bless him and to praise him.